Can't tell him anything. And he does a better job with it than I can. I won't get on it for that reason. So anyway, I did talk to him before I got here. He's comfortable sitting like in the center part of the couch because it's a little harder there and he's not leaning back. And I think Sherry got him a TV stand and put him some coffee on it. He's okay. I'll go over tomorrow and get some wood in for him. But, you know, I imagine he's going to not heal overnight. I imagine that's going to be rough. He said when Sherry was driving down the road, he's pretty certain she was trying purposely to hit every pothole that she could find. So I don't know. But anyway, hey, God has a reason for everything. And I don't know his reason for making Pastor, allowing Pastor to fall off that hoverboard, but here we are tonight, and ain't by accident. So maybe God's got something for me. And I don't know. I went home, and I prepared some messages, and some of them I have never preached before. And I went through and started reading some of them, and nothing really stood out to me. So I'm just going to talk to you tonight and pray that God would show up and, you know, that he would do something in and through me and hopefully speak to you guys through this. I'm familiar with this scripture that I am going to read, and I'll get into it as we move forward. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 11. So y'all pray for me if you don't mind. I don't get nervous, and I don't want to say the wrong thing and confuse anybody. Acts chapter 11, I'm going to read one verse. I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to then preach fast. You listen fast, and we'll go home. Acts 11:26 says, "And when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight, Lord, undeserving. Lord, I have no idea why things happen the way they do. Lord, but it's no accident that I'm here tonight. I want to thank you for this privilege. It's an honor to be here in this pulpit, Lord, speaking. Lord, I'm unworthy. I don't know all the answers. I don't have all the answers, but you do, Lord. I just ask that you'd fill me with your spirit, Lord. Speak in and through me. Lord, speak to hearts tonight, to what you've laid on my heart. Draw all of us closer to you. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice who does not have a true relationship with you, that would be revealed to them tonight. They wouldn't be ashamed of it, Lord, but they would just admit it and get it fixed. We're going to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. Be their pastor, Lord. Heal him quickly. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I believe that the word Christian is mentioned three times in the Bible, and I think that this is the first time that it's ever mentioned, the word Christian. And tonight I want to talk about or speak about generic Christianity. Generic Christianity. Fake Christian. Who drinks Coke? Who's a Coca-Cola fan? Who drinks Pepsi? Who drinks Dr. Pepper? Y'all drink something. Who drinks water? Y'all drink something. Well, I like Coke. I don't drink a lot of Coke because Daniel won't let me have it. But if she did, I guarantee you I'd drink 4 or 5 Cokes a day. I love Coca-Cola. Now, when you go into the supermarket, I'm going to use Coke because that's what I like, and I'm thinking of drinks. When you go into a supermarket a lot of times and you go to the drink aisle and you're going down through there, they have the Coke products, right? And the Coke products, sometimes you can catch them on sale. You can get a whole 2 liter of Coke for 99 cents. Happy Food Mart don't sell them little bitty ones, but for $1.29 and it's 2 sips and it's gone. A whole 2 liter for 99 cents of Coke. And they got all these Coke products. Then they have the Pepsi. Then they have the Dr. Pepper. Then they have the Sprite. And the farther you get down the aisle, so to speak, you get into these off-brand kind. You follow what I'm saying? This off-brand kind, Dr. Check or something like that, or whatever it's called. And I'm not trying to offend anybody here. If you drink all that stuff, that's fine. But have you ever noticed, you ever pick two of them up and put a Coke beside like a generic Coke? They're the same size. They got the same amount of fluids in them. And if you read very carefully, a lot of times they have what? The same ingredients. The problem is, or what the difference is you can buy one Coke for 99 cents and you can buy five of them for like 15 cents. But it's not the real thing. But it's not the real thing. I want the real thing. You understand what I'm saying? I want the real thing. Now, I believe that the church, today's church, our church here, we don't need just more men and women filling up the pews. We don't need that. You know what we need? The people that's here on a Sunday night service to be filled with God. That's what we need. That's what we need. And I've heard pastors say this, and I believe it as well. I think your Sunday night crowd and your Wednesday night crowd is the backbone of the church. We don't need people just filling up pews. We need each and every one of us to be full of God. That's what we need. Why isn't the world excited about this word Christianity? Why do you think the world out here we live in is not excited about Christianity? Why isn't town of Buchanan excited about Christianity? Why isn't your own family members excited about being a Christian? Why are you personally not excited about being a Christian? Maybe you are. Maybe you are. You know what I think it is? I think the world is not excited about Christianity because Christians ain't excited about Christianity. I think we get complacent. I think we go through the motions. And I'm preaching to myself. Christians aren't excited about the things of God. So we see here in this city of Antioch the word Christian. They were called Christians. Do you realize Christians didn't call themselves Christians? It was the other people, the lost, if you will, that called them Christians because they what? They seen a difference in them. We didn't come up with Christians. The people that were lost seen a difference in these people, and Christians is Christ-like, right? They seen a difference in them. So how did the gospel message reach the city of Antioch? How did it reach the city of Antioch? So I'm going to give a little history here real quick, and then I'll get into 3 points, and then we'll go home. In verse 19, it says, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none other, but none unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. So I see three things here, and I circled in my Bible. The very first thing we see here, that there was persecution on Christians. They were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. Has anybody ever started a brush fire? You know, go down a fence row or something like that, and you want to burn some brush off of it? And you get a little brush fire going, and maybe it starts getting a little bit out of hand, and you start freaking out a little bit, right? Instead of going and getting water, what do? We get a broom or we get a rake or you take your foot and you try to stamp it out. What happens when you stamp out a fire? What happens to them embers? What happens? Right, it spreads. And the next thing you know, this brush fire has done what? Turned into a wildfire. Well, that's what happened right here to Stephen. See, the devil wanted to squash Stephen and squash Christianity, but the devil, see, that God has a better plan. All he did was take that and spread it. You understand what I'm saying? And Christians started getting the word out, praying and preaching. It says right there, so they were scattered abroad because of what? Persecution. That's a message in itself. You want to know if you're in God's will? There will come persecution. If you never persecuted for Christ, then you're not in God's will. I believe that with all my heart. So in verse 19, it says what? That they were preaching the word. So not only were these Christians scattered, so to speak, they were preaching the word. And it said also in verse 20, preaching Lord Jesus. And also we noticed that the hand of the Lord was on them. So that's how it got to Antioch, okay? By being Christians being persecuted, that's how gospel message got to Antioch. Now I want to look at what took place with these people in Antioch. Let's look at what took place with these people in Antioch. There's three things that must happen or happens to a real Christian. I see the first one in verse 21. It said, and a great number believed. A great number believed. To be a true Christian, the first thing that needs to happen is a Christ-centered choice. A Christ-centered choice. First point, a Christ-centered choice. I heard an evangelist one time. He said that he was in the volunteer fire department or something. And he had a little bit of fire and rescue background. And he said he was in New York City, upstate New York, and he was visiting some firehouses there. And he said it was this picture in the firehouse, and they had a picture of a man, and they asked who it was, and they said it was a famous firefighter, and the guys in the firehouse there started telling him a story. Apparently, years ago, one of the high-rise buildings in New York City caught on fire. And up on the 12th floor, there was two men that couldn't get out in the hallway, and they were trapped. They were trapped. Nowhere to go. And so these firefighters were dispatched to go, I imagine, through the tunnel. I don't know if a ladder truck got them out high. I don't know. But anyway, they got up on top of the roof, and there was nowhere to anchor any ropes. So what these firefighters did was they tied a rope around, two of them tied a rope around them, and they lowered this rope. And then this picture of this gentleman, this famous firefighter, if you will, he went down that rope. He got to the 12th floor, and them two men inside that building saw him. They busted the glass out. Obviously, had been yelling for help probably who knows how long. What would you do in that situation? You'd be screaming, right? Begging, help, help, help. I'm going to burn to death. Help me. I need something. I need somebody. Somebody save me. Somebody save me. And here comes this firefighter down there. They knock the glass out. First one jumps out and grabs this man. They lower him down several floors and they get in. Now, according to this evangelist who has experience in firefighting, when you're a firefighter, a rope can only be used one time and then you can't use it no more. It's condemned. But they didn't have time. So the lieutenant told somebody else to get on the rope and go down and get the second guy. Second guy, same thing. He leaped out on him. And they lowered him down. Now, when we think about a Christ-centered choice, in Romans 10:9 it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Stay with me for a second here. Look, it's not all about what you verbally say. I think that we, a lot of times, and this evangelist used this point right here. He said in his own evangelism that he tried to tie people being saved to something that they said. Let me tell you something. It's more than a prayer. It's more than a prayer. Now, let's tie it back to these two men that's in this place burning. Was it their voices yelling that saved them? They were screaming for everything they had to be saved. But did that save them? No. This man come down, and they didn't have time to check this guy's certifications. They didn't have the time to check and see if he was real. They didn't know him from Adam and Eve. They had to put their faith and trust in this man, and they jumped for him and grabbed him. A lot of times we tie our Christianity to somebody coming up here and saying a prayer. That's just one part of it. But if you don't believe in all your heart that Jesus Christ is the only person that can save you, guess what? You're lost. Generic Christianity. It wasn't the rope. It wasn't them yelling. It's them putting their faith in that person, that man. Same thing with salvation. Verse 21 there at the end. I notice not only did they believe, but what does it say? And turned unto the Lord. Turned unto the Lord. First thing, a Christ-centered choice. Second thing, a Christ-centered change. A Christ-centered change. I'll do a little simple illustration for you. My back's to this pulpit. I'm facing it right now. I'm going this way. But if I do a 180-degree turn and I'm going this way, am I any longer going towards that pulpit? They turned, a 180-degree turn. A Christ-centered choice and a Christ-centered change. If you're here tonight and there's been no change, I'm not talking about being perfect. You can't be perfect. I'm not perfect. But if there's been no change in your life, something is wrong. Something is wrong. You cannot get saved. You can't be going this way and God Almighty call you to be saved and you get saved and you continue going down that same path that you was going. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. A Christ-centered choice. A Christ-centered change. Now, I was going to do a little illustration for you tonight, but I'm too fat and it takes too long for me to go back and change a bunch of clothes, so you're just going to have to bear with me. Okay? If I go back here real quick and I come out here and I got baseball cleats on and I got a ball uniform on and I say, play ball, what are y'all going to think I am? Huh? A ball player. A ball player are crazy. That's fine. All right, now let's say I run back there real quick. It ain't going to be real quick. It'll take me about 20 minutes, and I get changed, and I come out here, and I got a cowboy hat on, and I got one of them good old redneck buck cannon belt buckles on here that you could put a plate of food on, and I got cowboy boots on, and I got a lasso, and I say, howdy, y'all. What are y'all going to think I am? Real crazy. Huh? A cowboy, right? You're going to think I'm a cowboy. Now, let's say I go back here real quick. 20 minutes later, I come back out, and I got a cleat on this foot, and I got a cowboy shoe on this, a cowboy boot on this one. I got a ball glove on this hand. I got a lasso on this hand. I got a cowboy hat on my head, and then I've got a helmet, baseball helmet on that. Then what are you going to tell me I am? I'm really crazy. I'm really crazy, or I'm a mess. Why? Because of what? What I'm saying, what I look like, the things I'm talking about, my appearance, what's going on? Let me ask you, same thing in Christianity. How does anybody know that you're a Christian? How does people know that you're a Christian? A Christ-centered choice, a Christ-centered change. We won't be perfect, but there will be a change in our life. Verse 23, it says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Cleave unto the Lord. If you got your ink pen and you don't mind writing in your book, I would circle believe and I'd put a one beside it. And I would circle turned and put a two beside it. And I would circle cleave and put a three behind it. Because I think point three here in this scripture is a Christ-centered challenge. A Christ-centered challenge. Who in here has ever used super glue? Super glue. Or what's that other stuff? Gorilla glue. So if you've used it, you know how powerful that stuff is. Now, cleave here is talking about adhere to or to glue, okay? I think I have used glue before. I don't know if I've used super glue because I don't really fix anything. Right, honey? But I've heard, and I could imagine men especially, probably not ladies, but men, you're getting ready to fix something with glue and you read the directions on it and it says, one dap, it dries in 20 seconds, and holds something together for 40 years. One little dab, So what's a man do? He's got a piece of something broke, and a little piece is out of it, and he squeezes it on there. I mean, he's squeezing it. Can you see this? And then he pushes this piece in, and what happens? Ooze. All that stuff goes. Takes his finger and wipes it off. And then he remembers. Dries in 20 seconds. Tries to wipe it off with his thumb. Stays together for 40 years. A Christ-centered challenge. When you make that Christ-centered choice and you believe with all your heart, soul, and mind that Jesus Christ died for your sins and the only way that you have eternity is believing and calling on Him and putting your faith in Him, a man. And then there's going to be a change, a Christ-centered change in your life. A Christ-centered change in your life. And at that point, I think as a Christian, we all ought to be, our challenge, our Christ-centered challenge should be that we want to get so close to the Lord, we want to cleave unto the Lord, that we are inseparable. Told you I'd preach fast. I'm going to go right back here for a minute. Y'all bear with me. January 29, 2009, I was sitting about right here in a big auditorium in Goshen, Virginia. As lost as a fart in a whirlwind. A generic Christian. And there was an evangelist by the name of Tom Palmer from Pennsylvania who did a way better job preaching this message than I did. And I fell on my knees right there at that chair and I got saved. And I just wonder, how many more people has went through the motions of coming to an altar and saying a prayer and having somebody tell you just because you said that prayer that you are saved and you're on your way to heaven? For 17 years, I lived a life of false salvation. I never wanted to go to church. I didn't pray. I didn't read my Bible. There was no conviction about sin. Just going through the motions. And Tom Palmer preached a message called Generic Christianity out of verse 26 here of chapter 11. And God, of all the men out there, 600 or 700 men, I felt like God was sitting right on my lap. I used to sit right behind where Danielle Metter is. That was on a Friday night, that Sunday. We used to run about 120, 130 in 2009 in here. Who do you think Pastor Boone called to pray that morning? Me. If it would have happened before that Friday, I probably would have died right there in that chair and had a heart attack. And I just remember praying to God, talking to Him just like I am right now. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. All I'm saying is, are you sure? Are you sure? Can you go back to that time when you knew without a doubt that you were lost? And you put your faith in Jesus Christ, not just to say a prayer, but to give Him your life. A Christ-centered choice, a Christ-centered change, and a Christ-centered challenge. Paul, that's all I got, bud.